Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are you? Good morning. Is anyone awake yet? Is anyone ready to praise? I am. All right, I'm ready to sing. Hallelujah. All right. Come on and clap your hands. you a random number. Find six people this morning and tell them why you love Jesus. It should be really, really easy. There's so many reasons that we just sang about. He's faithful and powerful. Go ahead, tell somebody why you love Jesus. I love Jesus because he gives me all victory over the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, stir the atmosphere with your testimonies this morning. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. We love talking about the goodness of God. Now let's tell him ourselves how good he is. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, sing that with me again. There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you've shed. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, lift up a shout of praise. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for what you've done. Come on, sing it out. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how
This is how.
situation where you felt like you had no help, God gave you the ultimate weapon. Hallelujah. It's your praise. Your praise confuses the enemy. Your praise confuses the enemy. The one thing that he can't touch is your praise. And it breaks walls, it breaks chains, it delivers you. The Lord gave you the power to break your own chains with your praise. Your praise can break someone else's chains. Hallelujah. Come on, you are not helpless. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You have your praise. I want to hear the biggest wall-busting, chain-breaking scream and shout it in the middle of your storm, okay? I'm going to count to three, and I want this place to shake, amen? One, two.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. Can I share with you what God was speaking to me this morning? He said, you know, we make things so difficult and so complicated in life. We get so distracted by life in and of itself that we forget how simple it is to follow Jesus. We forget the simplicity of our relationship with God. This is it. We're singing it right now. And some of you are holding back. You've got life running around your head. You're discouraged here. You're upset here. You're bothered here. And life has distracted you from the one thing that is truly, genuinely simple. And when you learn how to praise, when you learn how to step into that peace, when you learn how to step into that joy, all the battles, come on, this is how I fight my battles. Everything seems to go quiet around you and it's just you and God. He knows your name. He knows the hair on your head, or less than that with Brother Girardi. He has no number at all. But the one thing is for sure, Jesus loves you. Jesus genuinely loves you. He's not a fake religious icon. He truly is God. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And right now, he's just waiting to hear your voice. He's waiting to speak to you and let you know, I know your name. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I know your name. It doesn't matter even if you don't feel anything. I know your name. This is not about feelings. Whether you feel God or don't feel God, he's still worthy. He's still God. And we're still obligated to worship him. That's why we're here. It's called corporate worship. Can you imagine if every one of us abandoned and laid down at the altar of God, ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service? Can you imagine if we laid it all down and all at one time just started singing this song truly out of our spirit? Oh my goodness. I don't think any of us would be standing. The anointing, the power of God, the presence of Jesus would become so thick. And I want you to do that. I don't know what you're going through. I really don't care what you're going through, because maybe what I'm going through is harder than yours. But I've made a decision. He knows my name. If God knows my name, it does not matter what's happening around me. I'm going to be okay. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to be okay. That's right. Are you ready to sing it? Come on now. Some of you need to lift your hands. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know. Come on now. You're gonna have to make a step of faith this morning and lift your hands and sing it with all that's within your heart. Lay down everything that you're thinking about. Lay down everything that you are. Lay down what you're doing after church, your problems, your situation. Come on now. He knows your name. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth this morning.
Thank you.
my name. He's listening to you now. Jesus.
You know my name.
Thank you, Lord.
You know my name.
Yes, you do.
You know my
name.
Know how you walk with me.
Arrabashukurebetande.
Oh, how you.
Yes, my Jesus.
And oh, how you tell me that I am your own.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you this morning. Take my yoke upon you,
Lord. Jesus.
Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. I worship you. I worship you. More of you, Jesus. Bible says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Some of you in this morning, you're carrying your cares. You know you weren't built for that? You weren't built to be a burden carrier. You were built to be free and free indeed. So the more you carry what you're not called to, you get weary. Well, I've got to do it. I'm going to make it happen. You know, these things have got to go on. But man, when you're in a relationship with Jesus, it's not that you're lazy, but there's an ease. You all know what the anointing is. The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. But the anointing actually means a smearing of oil. If you drive a car, you realize how important oil is. Especially if you've been in a vehicle like mine that didn't have any. There's a beautiful white billow of smoke that comes up when the oil is not working properly in your engine. And then large knocking, clunk, 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 clunk. As all of a sudden you slide over to the side of the road and you realized, I'm not going anywhere anymore. That's some of you. You're doing it on your own, and that's not what you've been called to do. That's what the anointing is for, and the Bible says the anointing abides within you. So the anointing makes the engine flow right and smooth. And some of you are just trying to do it all yourself, and that's why you're frustrated. That's why you're burdened. That's why, well, I don't even feel God anymore. He hasn't moved. Where did God go? He hasn't gone anywhere. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all to the end of the earth. So he hasn't gone anywhere. So who went? You went on your own venture. God is saying, come on now, cast your cares. Who has a care in this room? Honestly, you've got a care in your room. I'd like you to grab your care. Grab it right there. You ready? The word cast means to throw violently. Ready? Come on now. You might be saying, well, this is kind of stupid, isn't it? No, it's called an act of faith. If you got a care, grab it in your hand. Ready? We're going to cast it. Ready? Here we go. Cast it to Jesus. I release right now in Jesus' name. Father, even as they've done that, I just release in the anointing. Father, break every bondage in their life in the name of Jesus. We release it right now. Come on now, give him praise. Come on, Jesus, we honor you. You know my name. You know my name. I cast my cares upon you, for you care for us. Your burdens are light. Lord, we choose not to be burden bearers anymore, God. We choose to walk in the peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost. For Lord, our minds have not been created to fix everything. Our bodies have not been created to carry everything. And our soul has not been created to carry burdens. So we lay ourselves on the altar of Christ as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And we declare, God, we are burden free because we are your children in Jesus' name. And everybody in the room said, come on, those who cast your burden, shout in. I love you. Won't you meet five folks before you go sit down this morning? Come on, meet somebody you don't know. Come on now, don't be a snob. Meet somebody you don't know. Thirty more seconds.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Hey guys, listen, we got the week of prayer and fasting coming up September 8th through 11th. You want to know what? It's going to be here at the Horsets campus and also live stream Sunday night starting at 7 p.m. and then Monday through Wednesday at 12 p.m. Also, all campuses Monday through Wednesday will be at 7 p.m. Yes, I said that correctly, Ben. So make sure you bring your pictures of family, your bills, your debts, all that kind of cool stuff. You know, doctor's reports, etc. So we can lay them on the altar and pray over them, okay? So make sure you're out for this thing.
Hey, church family. I want to ask you this. Are you new to His Tabernacle? Perhaps you may not truly understand the full vision of the house. Maybe you've been attending for some time and you're not sure what you're called to do here. I want to give you the opportunity and the invitation to attend Growth Track. Yes, this is the opportunity for you for 4 weeks for you to come out and understand who we are, what we are, and why you are called here. We want you to be able to grow through Growth Track. So visit us on the website or check us out at the information booth for more info.
At His Tabernacle, we want you to grow. And we believe that teaching is a huge priority in every single believer's life. And so we provide classes called Next Steps. It ranges from step one all the way to step three, and we will meet you wherever you're at in your Christian walk. So if you'd like to find out more information about what your next step is, you can go out to the Info Center and get that, or go right online to histabernacle.com.
Praise the Lord. A lot of things going on at His Tabernacle Family Church. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Hopefully I met you in the parking lot. I love to be out on the parking lot waving at everybody, loving on everybody. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle and have not yet received a visitor's packet, if you'll just slide your hand up, we're not going to embarrass you or anything, but we do want to just say thank you so much for being here and give you a gift. If you're a first time here and you're a guest and you did not receive a visitor's packet, could you slide your hand up? Is there anyone that has not received a visitor's packet? Very good right there, folks in the back. No, Sean, you've been here forever and a lifetime. Amen. If you are a guest and you already have, I'd love to see all the guest hands. We just want to congratulate you for being brave this morning. What does it mean to be brave? The first time you go to a church is brave because you've never been there before. And I just want to say thank you so much for being brave and being in the house of God. God's got something special just for you. Amen. I'd like to make sure everybody knows this. Pastor Abina Ebo. Everybody knows Pastor Obi? Pastor Obi's also the dean over our Bible college. And some of you don't even know we have a Bible college here. You can earn all the way up to your master's degree right here at His Tabernacle Family Church in Bible. And we have, how many students came in this year? 25 on-campus students and 11 online. If you are interested, and what's that? And 430 students. 30, what's that mean? Oh, third-year students, I'm sorry. I thought he said 30-year students. I'm saying, boy, they need to graduate soon. So we started our third year. So we have an associate's degree available. Now we've started our third year. We have many of the students from Texas have stayed with us for their third year, and we just want to congratulate them. And we are just excited. If you would love to enhance your Bible knowledge and or go and you just know that God's called you to do Bible school, we have it right here. And you can do it right online. The classes are right online as if you're working a full-time job like I did to earn my doctorates. I couldn't go. I was here. So I had to earn them online. And I just want you to know that's a great education. And you can see Pastor Abina Ebo or email him. And we love you. Amen. I just want to say, my wife and I want to say thank you so much for allowing us to be gone last week. We were in Kentucky. And some of you don't know, but His Tabernacle is not just here in Horseheads. His Tabernacle is in Horseheads. We have a campus in Ithaca that last week was running, I believe they were running 185 people out at the campus in Ithaca. That's in 1 year. And then we have a campus in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Pastor Dan was running, I think, 85 last week. Isn't that awesome? That's the fourth month, just in 4 months. And then we have a campus in New Brunswick, Canada, actually histabernacle.ca, an actual His Tabernacle, all the way up in New Brunswick, Canada. We have a campus in Kentucky, it's called Church 360, a campus in West Virginia. We have four campuses in Mexico, two in the city of Campeche, one in the city of Merida, and one in the city of Cancun. We also have another campus in Puerto Rico. We haven't met that pastor yet, but I'm excited to go maybe go visit. Amen, Jesus. Breaks every fetter. We'll wait for it to get cold to go there. And but it's exciting to realize that you're not part of a small ministry, that God is doing massive things literally all over this hemisphere. And God has blessed us. And I just want to say thank you. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, thank you for letting God use your life.
Amen.
Don't forget, prayer and fasting begins this evening. And for ladies, the new Lady Rose magazine is out. There's only six remaining in the foyer. I want to remind you, you can go on RhondaJSpencer.com and subscribe. It's a quarterly magazine. Right now, this is being distributed over Africa of over 10,000 copies. And so we want you to be, we're introducing it to the United States of America. And so we want to encourage you to go and subscribe. It comes right to your house, right to your house, right to your house. You don't have to buy it every quarter. Just it comes right to your house. So I would encourage you to get on Rhonda J. Spencer and subscribe to Lady Rose Magazine. I'm also tremendously blessed this morning to have a friend of mine who I've been in ministry with. He actually was, he blessed us in Newfield, New York when we were the pastors there, came down and helped us with our youth ministry in 1991. Pastor Mark Latta, can you come and say hello? Do we have a microphone for him? Pastor Mark Latta, what a great man of God. I just love him. Amen. Just say hi to everybody.
Hey. Hola.
Oh. We do have folks that will speak that for you.
Okay, I can't. Bueno. Things are going great in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know that never changes? The kingdom of God.
That's right.
Is awesome. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome.
Whether there's 500 here or 50 or 4, where two or three are gathered in his name, that's where the Lord resides. And how many of you know when you start praising him, he shows up?
Amen.
Do you know God doesn't always want us happy, but he wants us holy?
Amen.
Can I say that again?
Yes.
God doesn't always want us happy. He wants us holy. Amen. And the only way we get holy is the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that I hate the word proud, but I'm proud of what God's doing here in the ministry through you guys. And what a joy to see God move.
Isn't it fun?
In the way that he is. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. I love just having fun. How about you? Amen. Pastor Rhonda is going to receive the offering this morning. Can you welcome Pastor Rhonda as she comes to the altar?
Oh, okay. I'm on. Good morning. This is one of my favorite times of the service when we get to talk about tithes and offerings, and it's so very important and vital to our lives. You see, my tithe does nothing for you. It's your tithe that opens the windows of heaven, and this is why we come to you every week with the Word of God on tithing. It is Jesus' favorite topic. In the Bible, in the New Testament, out of the 36 parables that he told, 16 were about money. 16. He talked about prayer 500 times. He talked about heaven 500 times. He talked about money 2,000 times. It's Jesus' favorite topic. Why? Because it involves your everyday life. He wants you to be prosperous. And so today we have an awesome testimony about what it does when you tithe and when you sow.
Good morning. So I'd like to say that, I've been here 2.5 years, and I've tithed every single week faithfully. So when Dr. Avanzini was here, it was probably about 2 months ago, the Lord laid on my heart that I needed to sow my mortgage payment. And the last 9 months for me have been nothing but a struggle. So for that, I fought him, and I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I can't do that. But I did. I sewed it. I wrote on the back of my envelope to pay off my car payment, to pay off the car. And 2-3 weeks ago, he laid it on my heart where the money was to pay off the car. So paid off the car. I called, got the payoff for the car. The payoff a week before I called to get the new payoff was $14,000 less than what I had the week before. Yes. So not only did I have money to pay off the car, but pay off the credit card. So now all I have is the mortgage. And like Pastor Andrea says, increased obedience brings accelerated harvest. Yes. So also,
it doesn't stop there. It just keeps going and going and going.
So also my son's school books, those needed to be paid for as well. And he came through with the savings account that was on that car payment as well. So that took care of those that I didn't even know existed. It was there. So fast forward now to last week. I've been traveling for the last year with my job and been praying, surrounding myself with women that hold me up every single day. And on Friday, I accepted a position for a branch manager position, and I will be home with my kids.
God is so awesome. Have blessed going in and blessed going out. If you're ready to give in this house, stand to your feet as we make our supernatural declaration, which is simply the word of God. We're going to prophesy over our finances right now. In Deuteronomy 28, oh, yes, and we get the awesome privilege of doing communion this morning. So make sure everyone comes forward and grabs communion cups. They will be right here at the front. Let's make our supernatural declaration. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning.
Praise the Lord. I love communion. How many of you love communion? Amen. It reminds us what Jesus did on the cross. Remind you that we don't believe every word in the Bible. No, really. A lot of times there are scriptures in the verse in the Bible that are wrong. I'm not saying the Bible's wrong. I'm saying what they said was wrong. Job made a statement. He said, though he slay me, yet shall I serve him. God wouldn't slay him. He was his son. I want to remind you that the Bible is based upon what we call covenants. Turn to someone and say, we're a covenant. That's right. You're in a covenant with God. You got a new covenant. How many of you are glad you got a new covenant? Amen. And that's what we base. It's called a doctrine, a principle. That's what we base our principles on, is the doctrines of the scripture. And one of them is the new covenant. And Jesus paid a price on Calvary's tree. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the price? How many of you know the covenants? If you're in rock solid faith, I want to hear you. You have the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant. Very good. I heard that. Come on, now what? That's right, the new covenant. Everybody say, thank God for the new covenant. You know what's in the new covenant? Is how many of you are Gentiles in the room? It's probably easier. How many of you are full Jews in the room? That is, what we got. You're not a Jew, you're English. Dear Lord. How many are true Jews? We every once in a while we'll have genuine Jewish blood in the house. Most people, though, aren't in this room. They're Gentiles. If you're a Gentile, that means that you are a person that in the Old Covenant really didn't have opportunity for salvation. But it's called the Great Mystery, and that is that Jesus paid the price with his blood, not only for the Jewish nation, but for those who will call upon the name of the Lord. That is for everybody. And today, you and I get the opportunity to be saved by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? For if you're fresh in the house and maybe you don't know God, what that means is that means you now get an opportunity to go to heaven. That means you get an opportunity even better than that, because that's the cherry on top, is to have a relationship with God. Aren't you excited to have a relationship with God? Aren't you sick and tired of carrying your own burdens and realizing that, you tried everything and all you did was mess yourself up? But Jesus washes your sins away. So what he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he reminded us of the covenant. And that is the blood, if I shout the blood, represents forgiveness. The body represents healing. And then we also know, according to Corinthians, that Jesus became poverty that we might become rich. That is, the power of poverty is broken in our life. And so we have a three-part covenant with God. And this is what we're reminding ourselves of. That you don't have to live a life spiritually. Oh my goodness, I'm born again. Life is so horrible. I don't know about you. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know about you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know about you. I can come before the throne of God boldly because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but by his stripes I was healed, not am healed, but was healed. Amen. And man, God will prosper me. The Bible says I'll prosper and be in good health even as my soul prospers. And I want you to realize that God has this promise just for you. And that's what we're remembering. Some of you are carrying more than you're supposed to. I think that's a theme that God's doing right here this morning. Some of you are carrying more than you're supposed to. If you're having problems with your finances and you're a tither, for goodness sakes, that God said, prove me in this thing. And you'll see God come through you in your finances and prosper you. If you're sick in your body today and you're born again, you have a promise. That's right. You don't get the crumbs off the table. You get the table food. And that is, by his stripes, you were healed. And if your sins, man, maybe you're struggling with a sin of that's in your life and it seems to be a bondage, Jesus will break that bondage this morning. For you're no longer slaves to sin, according to Romans chapter 6. Isn't it great to know? This is not about religion. This is about your Father in heaven loving you. Father, I thank you that this morning, that if there's sickness in the room, especially when we get done preaching, that faith will destroy it. That God, our faith will rise even as we're remembering. And Lord, we have that point of contact. We curse the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit, you have no right on the child of God. Lord, whether it be maiming, whether it be wounding, whether it be sickness, whether it be disease, or whether it be a growth. We declare you have no right on a child of God, that by Christ's stripes, you have to leave. God, we just celebrate that by celebrating communion with you. So, Lord, we take right now and partake of this cracker, declaring that by your stripes, your body, we were healed. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. Jesus then took the cup, said, "This is my blood of the new covenant. I don't care what sin you have in your life, what you're struggling with, I want you to know he's greater than that sin." Some people have given up because they struggle so much. Don't listen now. Don't struggle. Rest in the everlasting arms of God. Learn how to trust in Jesus. And you know something? The power of sin is broken already in your life. So today, if you're struggling with a sin, or maybe you just want to say thank you. How many of you are glad he washed your sins away? Who would ever thought your sins would be washed away? Amen. Lord, I thank you that you washed every sin, every stain. Lord, we'll be that church that you've called without spot or wrinkle. That Jesus, we declare your righteousness and your salvation is only through your blood. We'll never be good enough. We'll never do good enough. We can only receive the blood of Jesus that washes every single sin away. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. Hallelujah. How many of you are grateful for the blood of Jesus? Amen. We have a special presentation. How many of you know it was my wife's birthday last week? I just am so blessed. I have a tremendous wife. She's not just a wife. She's a tremendous mother, grandmother. But even that, she's a spiritual mother. She loves you. And she's here for you. Many of you have experienced the opportunity of her speaking into your life. And today, as a staff, we just want to bless Pastor Rhonda Spencer. Now, many of you know that Pastor Rhonda has been traveling the world with that book, with a few of her books. And so the staff wanted to bless her with Tumi luggage. And it's pretty, so she can't get lost. You are a tremendous staff. Thank you. Did I tell you? Did I tell you you'd love your birthday present? No, I'm trying to keep her home. We don't want to give her tickets. Thank you so much. What an honor. Thank you so much for blessing Pastor Rhonda. Remember, as you honor, you will be blessed. It's always the principle. When you honor the man or woman of God, if you give a man or woman of God a drink of water, the Bible says you get a prophet, a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. And so the more you honor, the more you'll always find that you will be accelerated in the anointing and in ministry. Amen? So thank you for sowing. Amen. Did you guys want to say something? I mean, is something supposed to be said? Huh? Ready? We're going to sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Rhonda. Happy birthday to you. I don't know where the microphone is. Okay. Isn't that beautiful luggage? And what's amazing is that when you're traveling all around the world, your luggage just gets the tar kicked out of it. And so it's a blessing that they gave there. She wasn't sure. I said, "Honey, you're going to love your gift." And she said, I'm sure I will. And I said, "No, you're going to really love your gift." And the staff blessed her. If you'd love to bless Pastor Rhonda, you can just put it in the offering. And that will always get to her. Just make sure you write her name on there. And today I'm excited because I get to preach the gospel. Now, many of you don't know, we are also doing what's called one voicing. What is one voice is the message that's preached here is preached in Ithaca, is preached in Mansfield, is preached in West Virginia, is preached in Kentucky, and is preached in Mexico. So we're all preaching the same message. So what Pastor Cody preached last week, can that kid preach or what? What he preached last week, I was preaching in Kentucky. So all one voice. We're all preaching the same gospel because we're going in the same direction. This is the year of... I said, this is the year of... Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to my next level. Tell somebody else, whether you go with me or not, I'm still going. That's right. We've been talking about next level faith, then next level change. Now we're in next level health, not healing. Remember, God's plan was not healing. God's plan was health. Healing came in when health was lost. Some of you are dealing with a loss of health in your life, and you need healing in your body. We've already proven that it's always, everybody shout always. Always. Shout always. Always. Come on now, one more time. Shout always. Always. It's always God's will to heal you. You are a covenant child. It is never God's will for you to be sick. Say amen. Amen. Oh, but pastor, you know, the Lord put it on me to teach me some spiritual good. Then why are you going to the doctor? If you actually believe that the sickness on your body is from God, then why would you go to the doctor to try to stop God's will in your life? Why would you take medication to stop God's will in your life if you believe the sickness on your body is from God? And let's be honest, every preacher, every doctor, every nurse, we would all be diabolical because our goal is to get the sickness out of you. So you see, it's a twisted thing that the church has laid hold of, that it's God's will to heal some and God's will. Well, you know, God needs another angel in heaven. No, he does not need another angel in heaven. He needs you right here on earth doing his will. Say amen. Amen. You see, we've created these mindsets that are anti-scripture, but they're good religion. And we've been talking about how God has divine health for you. It's always God's will to save. It's always God's will to heal. And it's always God's will to bless. That is his nature, his goodness. That is who he is. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads to salvation. It's not the badness of God. I don't know if that's a word, but it worked. The badness of God. It's time for you and I to grab a hold of this principle that healing is always mine. Whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether it's maiming, whether it's wounding, whether it's a growth, or whether it's just simply a diabolical demon that's causing illness in your body, none of it belongs in you. It is not your lot. It is not your call that by his stripes you were healed. Listen, you weren't healed today. You were already healed when he died and rose from the dead. Well, I'm waiting to be healed. You were already healed. Just like your body, you were already saved. The price for salvation was already paid. But until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot be saved. For the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We know that those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So what happens is salvation has already been paid for. Salvation has already been purchased. Salvation is already completed. It's until you and I say, yes, Lord, I want what you paid for. I want what you have for me. I want my salvation. And when you call upon his name, the Bible says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are a new person in the Lord through the blood of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Healing has already been purchased for you. It's already been paid for you. That's why Peter said that by his stripes you were healed, past tense, because the payment was already done through the blood on the body of Jesus Christ on the cross. So you're already healed. Turn to somebody and say, I'm already healthy. Come on, tell somebody, I'm already healthy. So when you are sick, what do you do when you're sick? How many here have ever been sick? Haven't been sick twice. Three times a lady. We've all struggled at times with sickness, but I have found that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he was taking communion, that there are many that are weak, many that are dead even before their time because they did not discern the Lord's body. The church needs to get back to preaching the entire gospel, not just the parts that they like. Come on now, can I hear an amen? Not just the parts that make them comfortable. It's the whole gospel of God, and that is the covenant that Jesus cut is completed. So what are you going to learn today? You're going to learn it very quickly because it's 8 after 10. That we obtain everything from the Lord by faith. Number 2, I'm going to give you some basic principle steps in how to acquire your healing and apply it to your life. And then number 3, I'm going to teach you some basic principles to keep it. You see, this is where, as believers, we've got to know how God's kingdom works. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not religion. We've been so religiousized that we've forgotten what the scripture has to say. Jesus, the words he said were yea and amen, and not one jot or tittle shall pass away. The word of God is truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth is simply this, is that without faith, you cannot be healed. Now I want to explain this to you. There is a difference between a healing and a miracle. A healing, we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, dealing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there are 9 gifts. There are 3 knowledge gifts. There are 3 wisdom gifts. And then vocal gifts. And then there are 3 power gifts. The 2 power gifts are gifts of healing and the working of miracles. There is a difference between a healing and a miracle. A healing is a progressive work of God. Now, that progressive work of God may take 5 minutes, it might take 2 minutes, or it might take 10 years, but it's a progressive work of God. A miracle is an instantaneous work of God that automatically happens in your life. I've given this example in Rock Solid Faith. For those who have not joined Rock Solid Faith, I'm really not sure why you haven't joined yet, but you need to. There are classes all over throughout the week. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. Ignorance is not bliss, and the enemy loves working on your ignorance because the more ignorant you are of the truth of God, you cannot lay hold of the promises, which are yea and amen. Therefore, the enemy can take control and actually take away what God's promises are in your life. So as a believer, a miracle is that instantaneous. I remember I was praying for a woman up in Maine. Her eyes were crossed and she had diabetes. I laid hands on her, and this was in my sister's, where were we? Is Sherry in the room? There she is. There you are, honey. It was in Thomaston, Maine. And this woman came up with her daughter. It was her daughter who had crossed eyes and diabetes. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and she walked out with crossed eyes. We couldn't check her diabetes. So when she got up the next morning, she went and looked in the mirror, and her eyes were uncrossed. She went to the doctor, and there was no more diabetes in her body. That was not a miracle. That was a healing. It took an overnight process. Now, I don't know why there are times that it takes a little bit longer for some than others, but man, Jesus didn't promise that we're all going to get miracles. He didn't tell us to walk by miracles and not by sight. He told us to walk by faith and not by sight. So we walk by faith. Faith is what? Faith is trust. I trust that what God said is true. Yea and amen. I don't care what the world has to say. I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by my circumstances because my circumstances cannot change heaven. But heaven can change my circumstances. There's a need for a revelation in our spirit that if we're going to live in health, that we're going to have to say that Jesus Christ and believe that Jesus Christ paid for us to live healthy. He paid for our bodies to be whole. He paid for us not to have sickness or disease. He paid for us, even if there's maiming with the man with the withered hand, he healed him. I want you to know that no matter what your problem is in your body, that Jesus already paid the price, but it is acquired by faith. He said to many, your faith has made you whole. What is faith? I trust that Jesus, who paid for that, said, if I ask it, I shall receive. Ask, you shall receive. Knock, it shall be opened. The principles are yea and amen. It's the issue when I coming to this revelation in our spirit, not in our minds. This is not you and I rising to a level of intellectualism, but you and I having a revelation in our spirit that whatever God said is true, that his word is truth, and everything else has to submit to the truth. Can I hear an amen? So faith is everything. Faith is how you and I get saved. By faith, are you saved through grace? You are not saved because of works. You're not saved because you're good. You're saved because of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. The same way you're healed. You are healed, it's already been paid for, by the body of Jesus. That by his stripes, you were healed. So your healing is already paid for so you can live in health. Somebody once said to me, but pastor, everybody has to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die and then the judgment. And I said, absolutely. Unless the rapture happens, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are alive remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if the rapture doesn't happen, then everybody's going to die. But where in the Bible does it say you have to die sick? Show me a verse where God said you got to die sick, where when it's your time to go, I'm going to put cancer on your body. When it's your time to go, I'm going to put a disease on your body to kill you, to take you home to be with me. You won't find it. Why? Because it's not there. It's bad religion, not the truth. We've got to have this in our spirit because this lie, these lies that are perpetuated through the body of Christ, what ends up, oh, but pastor, I have an Aunt Lucy. She loved Jesus and we prayed for her multiple times. And, well, you know, we don't understand, but she died. And it must have been God's will that she died because she was a woman of faith and she died. Well, listen now, I don't care who that person is. The fact is that your experience does not supersede the scripture. I had an uncle that I loved dearly. He was a true man of God. And he had cancer. He had rectal cancer. And I remember my wife and I were sitting with them as I was an evangelist, sitting with them and preaching up in Skowhegan, Maine. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, we're sitting around the table, and I couldn't understand why, as a great man of faith, why he was still sick with this disease that was killing him. And he looked at me one day, my wife and I, 3 o'clock in the morning with his wife at the table, so I'm not saying this out of school. And he looked and he said, I know why I'm not healed. He said, because I can't forgive my wife of putting me through hell when she went through menopause. I guess she really went through menopause. But you see, everybody on the outside who didn't know anything about him simply said, well, you know, it must have been God's will that he died of cancer. I want you to know it wasn't God's will that he died of cancer. Why? Because I know God. And by his stripes, I was healed. So therefore, I know the will of God. And the Bible says if you can have this confidence in him that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, the answer is on the way. So we have a confidence when we know the will of God. Well, you know, I'm just getting older. And when you get older, you get more aches and pains. Who told you that? Who said that to you? Who said that that's what you have to be? Well, it's just the way it is. You know, our bodies break down. But who said you have to die sick? Can't you die healthy? Is God so supernatural that he's got to kill you with a sickness or a disease? Or can he not just stop your heart? Can he not just give you air for the next breath? Can't you just die? Well, of course you can. You know, the old timers all believed that when you were getting ready to go into heaven, that the angels would be pushing you. And Brother Shambach, he passed a few years ago. Great man of God. If you don't know anything about Brother Shambach, R.W. Shambach, look him up on YouTube. You'll be blessed. He learned under A.A. Allen. And one of our spiritual authority, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., learned under Brother Shambach. And I've been able to learn under Brother Shuttlesworth. So it's a great heritage that we have here at his tabernacle. But what was really cool about R.W. was that he got up and he started singing. He started singing a song strongly and he looked at the caretaker. And he said, stop pushing me. Later in the day, later in that morning, he got up again. He started worshiping and he just started praising. And he looked again. He said, stop pushing me. And the man said, I'm not pushing you. I'm not even near you. and then he just died. You don't have to die sick. When it's your time, you go. Well, you know, I don't know. That's the problem. You can't have faith and I don't know. You can't have faith and hope. You've got to have faith that God's word is true or it's not true. And if it's not true in healing, then it's not true in the whole thing. I said, if it's not true in healing, then it's not true in the whole thing. You've got to make a decision if this is a game for you to stop playing the game and stop giving up your Sunday morning and your tithe. Amen. This is the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're not a church of religious people that gather together because we need a crutch. I am a son of the Most High God. I am anointed by the Holy Spirit, possessed by God himself. I am an ambassador. God has sent me on this earth to do the will of heaven, and that is to preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm not a survivor. I am a thriver, because with God on my side, there's nothing that I can do. It's able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. It's time to recognize that you are not just barely making it, but it's time to start living it. Everything we have is by faith. There is no one formula that you can grab in the scripture that says, do these three things and you're perfectly healthy all the time. Because all of us have had different things come on our bodies. Whether it be food poisoning, whether it be the common cold, whether it be a disease, whether it be high blood pressure, arthritis, we can go through the list of the different sicknesses and diseases, cancers. I want you to realize that Jesus paid for them all. But to get a formula, do these three things and everything's perfect, it doesn't work that way. But there is always one component that is always the same, and that is you got to have faith that if you declare it, it's truth. That if you believe it, it's going to get done. It amazes me how many of us will come up for healing, will lay hands on the sick. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, not might recover. We go lay hands on the sick, and then the sick walk away and go, well, you know, I hope it works. Well, you know, I'm just on this journey with Jesus. And it's time to stand firm in your faith, and instead of standing firm, you start to waver. You start to go back to the declaration. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of your tongue. People walk up to me, well, I've got diabetes, then keep it. If it's yours, have it. Well, you know, I've got the cancer. Well, then I guess it's yours, isn't it? Well, I've got the common cold. Okay, then you've got it. It's yours. So be it as unto your faith. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinks, so he is. So you see, we have this transforming of our mind that has to happen according to Romans chapter 12, where we get the word of God in us and our mind are being transformed. Transformed into what? Transformed into the word of God. We are being washed by the word of God. Our minds are being washed. Yes, we're being changed. How are we being changed? By the word of God that brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a constant renewal. We've got to be changed. You have the mind of Christ. You've just got to put the mind of the flesh in subjection. So we're dealing with this on a constant basis. And this is why this is not a one-shot deal, baby. That once you're going to get sick, you might get sick some other time. But what are you going to do when you get sick? Well, that's the question. That's the difference between us and the world. I had a doctor come up to me in the church, and he said, Pastor, if you're believing that it's always God's will to heal, then why am I doing my job? And I said, it's very simple. Because every non-believer isn't a covenant child. Therefore, they don't have the right to be healed by God. Got quiet on that one, didn't we? Well, I prayed for Aunt Lucy to be healed, and she wasn't healed. Was she saved? No, she doesn't have the right to be saved. Just like you don't have the right to walk into my house on Christmas Day and say, I want a present. I'm sorry, you're not part of my family. I didn't buy you a present. I bought my kids a present, but I didn't buy you a present. We want God to, listen, we're in that world today where everybody is accepted into everything, and I want you to know that's not true. If you're not a child of God, you don't have the right to the covenant. You don't have a right to have your sins washed away that you can go to heaven. You don't have the right to be healed. You don't have the right to have God prosper you. You see, this is where we have this contagious disease within the church. And that is that lies are being perpetuated and people believe them because they're being taught from the pulpit. I want you to know if you believe everything I'm teaching and you're not checking it out, you're crazy. You should be checking out what I'm preaching. You should be checking it out, saying, is this truth? Listen, you can go right online, histabernacle.com, go to archives, watch the message over again, get out the scripture. I've already quoted probably about 15 verses. You can say, hey, is what he's saying true? Is it what he's saying lined up with the scripture? And if it's not, you better be at my office. You better be sitting in my office saying, Pastor, you're not preaching the truth. And I want you to know if you do that, and that's true, I'll stand right up in front of this whole congregation, in front of the TV, that everybody that's on live stream, and in front of the TV that everybody's watching across this region, and I'll tell them that I'm not preaching the truth. There comes a place where you've got to start believing the truth. It's the truth that makes you free, not your religion, not your philosophies, not your experiences. It is the Word of God that is the truth. That faith is the very beginning process of getting your healing. Now, I do want to say this because I'm going to cut right to the chase when it talks about miracles. As a miracle, you do not need faith to get a miracle. I've walked up to people and I've laid hands on them and God's given them a boom, just a straight up miracle. They didn't have to do anything. They don't have to say anything. They don't have to be prepared. They don't have to have faith. That when I laid hands on them and spoke to that sickness, I want to remind you that Jesus never prayed for a sick person. Jesus only spoke to the sicknesses. That when he spoke, all of a sudden the miracle was released and boom, they got their miracle. They needed no faith. One of the great examples I give is a woman when our last church, Brother Ted, was in our church up in Newfield. And I remember the congregation was filled and one lady brought her aunt who was in her 90s and she was stone deaf. I don't know, she brought her aunt to be healed. But her aunt didn't know why she was there. So here she is in the middle of the congregation while Brother Ted is preaching. Remember, the word brings faith and the word of God is supernatural. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. As he was preaching, all of a sudden her ears popped open. God healed her ears in the middle of the church service. Now this was witnessed by over 150 people. She started screaming to her niece, all right, what did he do to me? What did he do? What happened? How come I can hear? Stop the whole service. Brother Ted said, God just gave you a miracle. Now you need to receive Jesus. She never received the Lord and was stone deaf by the time she left. See, miracles, you don't need faith to receive them, but you need faith to retain them. Let that sit. Miracles do not need faith to receive them. That's why everybody wants to be prayed for a miracle. You don't need faith, but you do need faith to keep your miracle. And this is why whether you have faith at the front end or the back end, baby, you still need faith. Faith is the key for you receiving what God's promises are to your life. We've got to have faith. By so it be as unto your faith. Where is your faith level? Well, Pastor, I don't have faith to be healed. Well, that's okay. That means you need to go back and get into the Word of God. That means you need to go back and start listening to the messages on healing. You need to go back and start listening again of messages on faith. You need to feed your spirit. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing and hearing and hearing. You've got to build your faith level. You've got to build your faith level. T.L. Osborne said this. T.L. Osborne preached to more people face to face than anybody else on the planet. Billy Graham preached to more people because he preached over radio and stuff, but T.L. Osborne face to face would preach over 1 million people at one time. And then as he would preach, he said he would come to the United States. I heard it out of his own mouth. He said, I hate coming to the United States and preaching on miracles and healing because the people of America no longer have faith in God's word, they put their faith in other directions. And it's time for you to recognize that God called us to be healthy, but we're not going to be healthy if we only have to live by the hands of the doctors. I thank God for doctors. I honor doctors. I go to a doctor who yelled at me. I go to doctors, and I respect, man, you cannot say that doctors aren't powerful and that God doesn't use them. Can't say that. It's not possible. My great example is there was a man who was an 8-year-old boy was hurt in a farm accident, and his arm was all riveted up. And in his 30s, he went to the doctors, and they cut it off here, and they cut it off there, and put in a cadaver. Did I say it? Put in a cadaver's elbow, and it worked. You can't say that doctors aren't used by God. You can't say that doctors aren't blessed. You can't say that doctors aren't good. It's impossible. But I want you to recognize that God has called us first to the great physician. There is no collision between modern medicine and the kingdom of God. They're all trying to do the same thing, and that is to get you healthy and to get you whole. But now you've got to learn that you've got to put more faith in the word of God than even you do into men and women that are working and practicing medicine. This is where we learn how to grow in faith. You'd nothing better than a spirit-filled, come on now, nothing better for you to have than a spirit-filled doctor. My cousin Wayne was born with his one leg longer than the other, and he went to a chiropractor who was a spirit-filled chiropractor. And right in front of his face, the chiropractor started praying, and his leg literally grew out to the right size. Nothing better than having a spirit-filled doctor or chiropractor in your corner. Could I hear an amen? But your first faith has to be in Jesus. You've got to pray the prayer of faith. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22, and Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and if you do, and it will be done." Here at verse 22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You've got to be speaking the word of God more than you're speaking death. One of the things I found was, and it was very interesting. I was listening to, I always forget that guy's name. Listening to a preacher that I've known for many, many, many years. And a great man of God. And he had a tumor in his body. And it was growing. And the doctor said to him, "Listen, you're going to die if you don't get that tumor out." And he looked at him and he said, "Well, thank you, doctor. Whose report will you believe?" "I believe the report of the Lord." And he started declaring the word of the Lord over his life, Freddie Price. And he started declaring the word of the Lord over his life. He went back in 9 months and that tumor was absolutely gone. They had pictures pre and they had pictures post. Well, why is that? Because he refused to allow words of death to come out of his mouth. When my wife was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, many of you had no clue. In fact, most of you had no clue. In fact, our staff didn't even have an idea. We didn't tell our children right off the bat either. We stayed alone and we started declaring the word of the Lord. Why? I don't need somebody that's going to look to me and say, "Well, you know, I'm rooting for you. Well, you know, I hope it works. Well, you know, you need to be realistic. Well, you know," no, I'm sorry. I don't need death spoken, especially when sickness is on the doorstep. I need to exercise my faith, and that is to declare the word of God that is more powerful than anything else. And if we don't believe that, then we're just playing a religious game. We've got to declare the truth, for the truth shall make you free. Can I hear an amen or oh my? That is found in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 42 talks about the man that was sent and his disciples kicked out over the mourners. It was Jairus, his daughter. Jairus was a religious leader, should never have come to Jesus. But he gave up hope with everything that he had available to him, and he came to Christ, and he said, "If you'll come lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be well." And Jesus started walking with him, with saying, "Yes, I'm going to go. We know it's his will." So Jesus is on his way to Jairus' daughter, and all of a sudden a woman who was bleeding in private places for many years. She spent all the money that she had. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be well. So she pushed through the crowd, and all of a sudden she touched the hem of Christ's garment. And the Bible says the anointing flowed through Jesus, and the anointing healed, dried up her blood. And what could not be done on earth for all those 18 years, Jesus healed at that very moment. That's the power of God. It actually stopped Jesus, and Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples looked and said, what do you mean, who touched you? Can't you see all the people surrounding you? Jesus said, no. Somebody drew the power out of me. Somebody drew the anointing out of me. Somebody said, come on now, if I touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be well. She made a declaration of faith, and the Bible declares that she was made whole. At that very moment, a servant came from Jairus' house and said, don't bother the master. Your little baby girl has died. And Jesus looked at Jairus and said, listen, don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe what? Only believe what you first said. If I come lay hands on your daughter, she'll be made well. I want you to know you can't change your confession. You can't change your declaration. You can't change. You've got to be careful of the words that come out of your mouth, because you can actually cancel your healing with your words. Jesus walked into the room. He left out. Listen, he didn't even let everybody stay in the room. He took mom and dad, Peter, James, and John, walked in and raised their little girl from the dead. It's important for us to realize that you've got to watch your words. When you're going for a healing, you don't want to run out there and go, well, you know, I've got this sickness and I've got that sickness. Listen, you've got to declare the word that by his stripes I was healed. Well, pastor, I don't want to be a liar. Listen, no one's asking you to be a liar. If you got green snot running down your nose, and someone walks up to you and says, are you sick? Nope. You're a liar. But you don't need to agree with it. You can declare the word that I was already healed 2,000 years ago. They're going to look at you like I got 12 heads. But I want you to know, I'd rather have 12 heads and be healthy than have 12 heads and not be healthy. You need to declare the truth. The truth trumps your facts. So you learn to live by faith, not by sight. So when you need healing in your body, you start speaking over that part of your body. You start declaring, you've got to obey the word of God. You've got to line up with God's word for my life. And I command in Jesus' name that you be healed and healthy. You don't even need anybody to pray for you. You can lay hands on yourself. Well, how do I know that? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. Well, I think I need a preacher. Well, if that's where your faith point is, then go ahead and find a preacher. But the fact is that same spirit is dwelling inside of you, and that same miracle power is dwelling inside of you. You can lay hands on yourself, and you can see healing come in your own physical body through your own hand by the Spirit of God who's dwelling inside of you. It's time to recognize that I'm not weak, but that I am strong. So when I need healing, I need to declare the word of the Lord that is stronger than my circumstance. Then I need to stand firm, immovable. Romans chapter 4, 20 and 21, talking about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he promised, he was able to perform. So all of a sudden you've got, let's say, your ankle, twisted your ankle, broke your ankle. You can start speaking to that ankle. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Doctor might even put a cast on you. But I watched a young lady that I was actually dating. She broke her collarbone. The next day, she went to the hospital that night, had it reset. And man, she was in church the next day like this, a church of over 500. The evangelist walked into the town. He looked over at her and he says, you have a broken collarbone. Well, if you see someone with a broken collarbone, it looks like they hurt their arm. Doesn't look like they hurt their collarbone. And he said, you broke your collarbone. Take your thing, sling off, and start swinging your arm around. She took her sling off. Now listen, I was dating this girl. Don't tell me it's not true. I was there. She took her sling off, and she started swinging her arm around, and it was completely healed the moment she took it out of the sling. And I want you to realize she had to exercise faith. That's the healing. Exercise faith to receive what God had for her. Watch what happened. She went back to the doctor, and they couldn't even find where it had been broken. Story after story after story, but you've got to hold true to your declaration of faith. I'm not running around saying, listen, the devil only knows what you tell him. If you feel like crap when you get up in the morning, don't say, I feel like crap. Why? Well, you just gave an open door to start working your life. Well, I'm so sore. Well, you're going to stay sore. I don't tell the devil anything. He can't read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. When I get up in the morning and I know I don't feel good, I don't say to Rhonda, well, you know, I don't feel good. No, I thank God this is a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God that I'm blood washed, that I'm healed in my body, that I'm walking with a sound mind. I thank God. I'm going up to the prayer room. I went up to the prayer room. I walk around having a good cup of coffee. Can I hear an amen? And just loving on Jesus. Why? Because I'm not going to allow what has come upon my body to control me. I'm not controlled by anything but Jesus Christ and His Word. That is the one thing that matters. And we've got to start getting, come on now, we've got to start getting the backbone in the body of Christ and get back to the truth. Oh, come on now, I'm late. Y'all made me late. How do I keep it? I can't go there. So you're going to have to come Friday night to our miracle service. This Friday night, we're having a miracle service after the week of fasting and prayer. Friday night, what time? Someone tell me a time. 6:30, Sunday night, this coming Friday night, right here at 6:30, we're going to lay hands on all sick, disease. We're going to lay hands on those that are blind, those that are deaf. We're going to declare the miracle-working power of God. So if you want to see miracle signs and wonders, you need to be here on Friday night. Can I hear an amen? That's right. Oh, Pastor, you're putting yourself in a spot. No, I'm not putting myself in a spot. I can't heal the wing of a fly, but I got a master. I've got a Savior that in the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk. God can set the man free. It's time to recognize we're not serving religion. We're not here for church. We're not here to do our little religious thing. I'm here because I'm a child of the King, and this is real, and this is powerful. This is supernatural, and I refuse to relinquish 1 ounce of it to make men feel relevant. Can I hear an amen or oh mine? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't have time to go into the next portion. I need an hour to preach this message. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to lay hold of your covenant right of being a child of God. That comes only through the blood of Jesus. You know, we don't even have a membership in this church for a reason, and that is because I don't want anybody to say, well, I'm a member of His tabernacle, I'm going to heaven. No, you can be a member of any church you want and not go to heaven. You can be a preacher and not go to heaven. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're brought up Protestant. I don't care if you're brought up Catholic. I don't care if you're brought up some other religion. The one thing I know, without Jesus, you cannot see heaven. Unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want Him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. You know you're not right with God and you want Christ to wash your sins away. Is there anyone this morning that needs Jesus? Not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Last call. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. The prayer team's coming around the front of the altar right now, even as Mindy's coming up front. Maybe you didn't raise your hand for salvation. Up one more, please. Maybe you didn't raise your hand for salvation, but you know you're not right with God and you don't want to go to hell. Remember, hell's the nice place. That's the holding tank. It's the lake of fire you really need to be aware of. Today, if you raise your hand for salvation, we're going to ask you to be brave. Can everybody turn to the person next to them and say, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to go up, give your heart to the Lord, I'll go with you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave and meet me right up front. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come this morning. Amen. Thank you, sir. I'm so proud of you. If you would like to receive Jesus, come right out of your chair. Amen. If you need healing in your body, sir, we're proud of you. Hallelujah. Come right on over here. If you need healing in your body, yes. Amen. Never the same again, man of God. Never the same. you need healing in your body or struggling with something in your life, the prayer team is here. They'll pray with you. God will move in your life and God will make you free. Don't forget, tonight is fasting and prayer. Monday night's fasting and prayer. Tuesday night's fasting and prayer. Wednesday night's fasting and prayer. Go on Facebook. Pastor Obi did a whole series on how to fast. It's all on Facebook right now. But I challenge you to fast one meal a day minimal. I'm going to do a full fast. I'll start this afternoon and I'll go just water all the way. And I don't know if I'm going to end even on Wednesday. But I challenge you to fast. Bring your flesh into subjection. Let's see God move in this region like we've never seen before. Can I hear an amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing and healing, your covenant over your children in Jesus' name. I declare, Lord, those that are struggling with sin will be healed, will be forgiven in Jesus' name. Those in sickness will be healed in Jesus' name. Those who are struggling in their finances, that they'll trust you, God. Tithe, and Lord, you'll open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing they cannot even contain. I declare, Jesus, safety. Surround us with your angels all week long. And that, Lord, you'll use our lives to bring at least one soul to Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you. Have an awesome week.